Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Ed Morse Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdMorseSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is a Dolphins Monday. A victory Monday here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming on the internet at WQAM.com or on your smartphone at the TuneIn Radio app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. If you'd like to get in, react to a Miami Dolphins win. Phone numbers, they never change. Some people have not memorized them or saved them into their phones. You should. Two different phone numbers. They're kind of the same, but they're kind of different. Different area codes. 305-567-0560. 954-567-0560, or you can always get at us via the plumbers911.com text line at 56022. I had a lot of fun hosting the post game last night, but I know Troy Stradford and I, we both had the same reaction. I don't know if this is because, you know, the post game is so immediate, right? So you're reacting to something you haven't had a whole lot of time to digest yet. But I could not believe yesterday the amount of, and I know that the people who are negative tend to drown out the positives. It's like you don't make a Yelp review unless you had a bad experience or a TripAdvisor review. Like, people don't tend to speak up if they have something nice to say. That's unfortunately usually the way that the world works. But I couldn't believe last night the amount of texts and phone calls that Troy Stradford and I were getting on the fifth quarter show of people that were saying, yeah, I know that they won the game, but oh my God, the play calling. Awful. Adam Gase doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm not exaggerating. We literally had multiple people tell me that Adam Gase should give up his play calling duties because it was that bad. You're judging that on one game. I mean, Adam Gase has the reputation of being one of the best play callers in the National Football League. You didn't like the way he called the first half, so you would like him to give away play calling duties to somebody else? Like, do you really know for a fact that Clyde Christensen would do any better? Like, I couldn't believe so many people were focusing on the negatives. And yeah, there were issues, right? The pass defense at times was porous. The offense was out of rhythm, very conservative, very overly buttoned up in the first half. But you consider what this team has gone through over the last couple of weeks, the last several weeks, starting with the Ryan Tannehill season-ending injury and the season-ending injuries to, you know, to other guys, losing Tony Lippett for the year. You lost Raekwon McMillan for the year. You know, you lost Ted Larson for the first half of the season. You won't have McDonald at safety until the second half of the year because of his suspension. And then hours before the game, one of your linebackers disappears. And okay, something that I do kind of feel bad about today is the fact that, man, it's hard for fans in this area to fully embrace and fully celebrate a victory, fully accept the fact that your team is 1-0 to start the season. You know, at this moment, you sit atop your division at 1-0 in the AFC East, and your team found a way to come back and win that game in Los Angeles yesterday. This is a team that had a lot of close victories, closed out a lot of ugly games. Last year, they closed out an ugly game on Sunday. I don't see why we can't celebrate that. I don't see why we can't celebrate closing out an ugly win in this league, because if you've been watching Dolphins football for decades, specifically the last decade and a half or so when the team was very mediocre or bad for much of those years, I'm talking about the Joe Philbin years and the Cam Cameron year and the Dave Wannstedt years and the Tony Sperano years, if you can't appreciate your team closing out close, ugly games when their MO used to be all those ugly games were games the Dolphins would lose. If you can't appreciate that now, you are a glass half empty type of person. But something that I do feel bad about today is that, you know, you can't really fully celebrate a Dolphins victory Monday because, I mean, we're trying to get to the bottom of this Lawrence Timmons story. Bizarre So, okay, it's not like Lawrence Timmons is the type of player that's been flaky throughout his career. Before yesterday, Lawrence Timmons had made 101 consecutive starts, most of any front seven defender in the National Football League. 101 consecutive starts, and then you can't find the guy hours before the game. Dolphins filed a missing persons report, according to TMZ, on Sunday morning. They found him at the airport, trying to board a plane to Pittsburgh, where his girlfriend and his child live. Drew Rosenhaus said he's going through something personal, and you are trying to figure out if Lawrence Timmons is going to be a Miami Dolphin for the rest of this year. And let me say this, right? Beyond the oddity, the bizarrety of this situation, at the end of the day, my God, I hope everything is okay in Lawrence Timmons' life because we need him, right? I don't want to sound selfish as a fan because, of course, first and foremost, right? You know, I don't know what's going on in his life, but I hope he's okay. I hope his child is okay. I hope his family is okay if there is an issue like that going on in his life. But selfishly, as a football fan and as a Miami Dolphins backer, you need depth on that linebacking core. So I give credit. I give game balls to Mike Hull, who stepped up yesterday, played all 58 defensive snaps, to Chase Allen, who stepped in to be that third starter. He was the guy who came off the field in the nickel, only played, 15 snaps, but he did grade out higher than any other Dolphins linebacker yesterday. So the next man up mentality was in full play yesterday. And here's one of the problems with why this Lawrence Timmons saga is not going away today. Hopefully it'll go away later this week because, you know, apparently Adam Gase just does not have enough information yet where he's comfortable speaking on it, right? And I understand that. When you're talking about what Drew Rosenhaus claimed is a personal situation going on in Timmons' life, if you're in the position of his head coach and you've got to take that podium last night after the game, when he wasn't ready to talk about it, said, hey, ask me tomorrow at 3 p.m. We'll discuss it. Well, Adam Gase comes to the podium 3 p.m. today, and he's still not ready to talk about it. Here's what Gase had to say about Lawrence Timmons today in Davie.
No, not currently.
Do you expect that he'll play some next Sunday, or way too soon to know that?
I haven't even gotten through step one yet, so kind of got in a little late last night, so kind of dealing with the guys that played.
Have you talked to him or
no?
Is he in the building?
No idea.
Wow. I mean, you don't know if he's in the building? That's strange. That's very strange. And I take Gase at his word for that. But him saying, okay, do you know if he's in the building? No idea. That probably means he was not, Timmons, not in the building today. You know, we did see, according to Adam Schefter, that Timmons will be meeting with doctors today to assess his situation. I don't know if that means it has anything to do with his health, although Schefter did say this is not CTE related. So I don't know if by doctor you mean a therapist, like somebody for a psychological evaluation, or if it's a member of your family who needs to see a doctor. That's why this is so confusing. And unfortunately, Adam Gase did not have the information necessary to shed any clarity on it whatsoever. And so this story is going to continue to churn. It's going to continue to be an issue until it's not. And of course, for somebody like me, right, it's our jobs as, for you, it's the fans. For me, it's a member of the media who's also a fan of the team. This is something that we can talk about because we want to get answers. But hopefully the players have just compartmentalized, moved on from this mentally, and all of his teammates can say, you know what, I'm not going to think about Lawrence again until he is back with the squad, or until he's not, that we have games to focus on. We just got a victory in Los Angeles, a hard-fought victory. We have a divisional game coming up against the Jets team that we should beat this weekend on the road in the MetLife Takeover, because I know there's going to be a lot of great Dolphin fans there. Hopefully the last thing on players' minds is Lawrence Timmons, but for, you know, those of us out there who live and die with this team, this is an issue for us. And so I'm sure we'll get more cryptic information as the show goes on from the Schefters and the TMZs of the world. We'll go to the phone calls in a moment, but I do want to play some audio from the Dolphins today, just shifting gears for a second, because, you know, I did mention that I would like to focus on the Dolphins' victory rather than focusing on this whole drama with Lawrence Timmons, right? I would rather focus on what happened on the field last night, yesterday afternoon in Los Angeles. I thought Jay Cutler was very sharp. And when you ask me what my opinion was of Cutler, his first regular season game as a Miami Dolphin, the first word that comes to my mind is comfortable, right? The command he had in the pocket, the command he had in the offense, the command he had for running the no huddle. It's very impressive. Now, maybe it's because we're used to watching a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, who I do like, but struggles in some of those areas. Those are areas of weakness for Tannehill. Seeing the way that Cutler was commanding that offense, being that general on the field, that general in the huddle, and really was a lot of no huddle throughout the day, was very impressive. The throws to Devontae Parker, my God, that 31-yarder that Devontae literally stole from the defensive back. That was, I thought, the prettiest single offensive play for the Dolphins yesterday. Now, that was more on Parker than it was on Cutler. It's not to say it was a bad throw, but Parker made an unbelievable catch. And, of course, the 29-yard touchdown pass he threw to Kenny Stills. The key thing about that play was, you watch that play, you realize Kenny Stills was matched up by a linebacker. And that's a just incredible mismatch to have one of the fastest players on the field covered by a Chargers linebacker. And that mismatch was created by the tempo. The no huddle created that mismatch. The Dolphins are able to create situations where you've got a slow player covering a very fast player. When your offense is creative, your play calling, guess what? In that instance, was a good play call, because I know people will rip the plays that didn't go well for the Dolphins yesterday. That 29-yard touchdown was not one of them. That was a very well-called play and a play that created a mismatch due to the tempo. So I like that. And so on Jay Cutler, you like what Mike Pouncey had to say about Cutler today.
He's a baller. I mean, he throws the ball all over the football field, and he takes command of the huddle. He's a guy that puts us in position just to win football games, and that's what he did yesterday.
And here's another offensive lineman, right tackle Juwan James, on his impressions of Cutler and his leadership.
Oh, man, I love it, man. He's a leader, and, you know, that was our first – I really only played, the Philly game with him. But for a game with him, man, his leadership is crazy out there. His confidence and the confidence he instills in everybody else around him is pretty cool to see.
His leadership is crazy out there. I like that. It looked a little weird, like writing that quote down for an article, but it sounds pretty cool. His leadership is crazy out there. And here is Adam Gase when he – took a break from Lawrence Timmons' questions to talk a little bit about Jay Cutler.
Jay did a good job. You know, he executed what we asked him to do. He's good in the run game. You know, threw the ball well, made some great plays off schedule. Those guys are seem to, you know, they're learning each other, and, you know, he keeps everything calm. You know, he doesn't get too high, too low. I know he wished he had that one throw back in the red zone. You know, we were just a little bit off on that one. I know we were excited about having an opportunity to run that one. That was something that we've been working on. I think we had that up like in 2015, so I think that was the first time I got to call it. So, you know, we were close on that. That would have been a great one to have, but we still got points out of it. And I thought he did well, though. I mean, he made some, you know, that throw that he had to Devontae was a good play, you know, just on that scramble drill. And, you know, those guys do a good job when things start breaking down. You know, we're finding guys now.
Now, Cutler did not speak to the media today. His day is Wednesday is when he talks to reporters. But, you know, we will play later on tonight. We'll play the postgame presser from Cutler yesterday, because, you know, when Troy Stradford and I were on the air for postgame, we carried the comments live, and people were reacting to it on the text line. And just independently, a lot of people had the same reaction to listening to Cutler speak, saying that, hey, sounds like he's really having a good time. It sounds like he really loves football. It sounds like he really loves being a Dolphin. He didn't sound like a guy who was retired for 4 months and had to be coaxed out of retirement. This sounds like somebody who still loves the game. I mean, I think if anything, yeah, I know that the media and, of course, you know, Bears fans who had they experience ups and downs with Cutler during the time he was in Chicago. Broncos fans had ups and downs with Cutler after he was drafted there in Denver years back. Like, they've got mixed feelings, mixed opinions on the guy. And one of the knocks on Jay Cutler has been that, you know, he's not always — this is his reputation, this is not me saying this, but his reputation is not always the best teammate, not always the best guy to be around, not always the locker room favorite. So far, so good in all those aspects, right? Now, I don't know how that could change if you start to lose games, God forbid. He was very cheerful after a victory, as most of us would be in that situation. But when it comes to training camp, into the preseason, into the regular season so far, Jay Cutler has been nothing but a delight to cover. Like, he looks like he's having a great time. It looks like his teammates have really taken to him, as you heard in those sound bites, whether it be Gase or Juwan James or Mike Pouncey talking about him. It seems to me like Cutler is kind of conducting himself like he's the new kid in school. He's got a new lease in life, right? Like, you're in a certain high school and your friends start to get tired of you. You're no longer that popular. You've got a reputation. You go somewhere else. You start fresh. Jay Cutler right now is starting fresh in the Dolphins locker room. We'll take some calls on the other side. Full board, man. I love to see this on a Dolphins Victory Monday. So if you're on hold, we're going to do all phone calls in the upcoming segment. Later this hour, about 6:45, we'll be joined to talk some Canes with Peter Ariz from CanesInsight.com, OutTheHuddle.com. So the Miami Hurricanes are on the field. They finally got another game this weekend, right? We got to wait 5 more days for the Hurricanes to take on Toledo. And don't look now. I'm not saying that I expect to lose this game. Of course, the Canes are coming away with a victory this weekend. But like Toledo, they're still scoring from Saturday's game. 54 points they put up. They were down 21. Toledo has this quarterback who threw for, again, this is against Tulsa's, not against Miami's defense. Going to go very different when the Hurricanes face Toledo. But Toledo's quarterback over the weekend, 458 yards, 6 touchdowns. So Toledo can score. I don't think they can score on Miami the way they could score on Tulsa, but that is an offense that is not to be taken lightly. And if you're looking for a place to watch that game, place to watch every game, man, this is my spot for sports. The Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The Quarterdeck does an amazing job. They've got flat screen, high definition TVs covering every wall. It's a great place to watch the game, not only because of the views you get of the televisions, they'll turn the sound up. It's a great game experience, but what I love about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill is the food is delicious and the drinks are great. They've got craft cocktails designed by their spirit master, and they have 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. The happy hour never ends at the Quarterdeck. The food is great. I love the seafood at the Quarterdeck, whether it's the world-class sushi, the oysters, the Maine lobster, the fresh mahi. Oh, the buffalo shrimp is so delicious. If you're not a seafood fan, they have great options. Chicken wings are so good at the Quarterdeck restaurants. I love the chicken ciabatta sandwich with tater tots on the side, fresh mozzarella cheese on top of the chicken. Build your own burger with tons of fresh toppings. The ribs are tender. Meat falls off the bone, baby back ribs. And man, whatever you do, you're enjoying a meal at the Quarterdeck. You want to save room for dessert because the key lime cheesecake, oh, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And the Quarterdeck is not only a great place to watch the game, it's a great place to watch the fight. They've got every UFC pay-per-view fight for zero cover charge at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. You want to find your location by visiting quarterdeckrestaurants.com because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
In my hair, melting everywhere in the sunshine. Watch the sun go down while on my face starts to crystallize.
I was reading through some of the snap counts and conclusions that that Barry Jackson posted in his blog this morning, the Miami Herald, and you know, a couple things that stand out. I did notice some of these last night. Others of these were put to my attention today. But you notice at running back, there is not a whole lot going on behind Jay Ajayi. And listen, it's fine. Don't disrupt that man's rhythm when he is torching and wearing down the opposing defense. 28 carries, 122 yards against a Chargers defense that had gone 17 consecutive weeks without giving up a 100-yard rusher, and Ajayi was the first guy, long time, to break that mark. But at running back, Damian Williams played only 3 offensive snaps. Kenyon Drake played only 1 behind Ajayi. Williams didn't have even a carry. Kenyon Drake did have 1 carry, so Ajayi played 64 of the 68 offensive snaps yesterday, and he's certainly capable of carrying that load. You would just have to worry. Hopefully it's not wearing down his body, right? I know that you always have those lingering concerns with, you know, the knee and the cartilage that was an issue for him coming out of Boise State. So obviously on a day like that, you don't want to disrupt Jay Ajayi's timing and rhythm. But at some point, you would like to see more carries going around for Damian Williams and for Kenyon Drake, who between the two of them only had 1 carry. And something that I liked was, because you notice you saw a lot more of this guy on the field, a defensive tackle, than the other guy. But Davin Godshaw, the rookie out of LSU, even though he didn't start the game. So it's like they gave the polite nod to the veteran Jordan Phillips. We'll let you start, but you're not going to be on the field a whole lot. Jordan Phillips only took, I believe, 21 snaps yesterday, while Godshaw got 32 snaps at defensive tackle. So Jordan Phillips, technically the starter, but the finisher and the guy who was out on the field a lot more often was Davin Godshaw, the rookie, who had, you know, a really good training camp and a very good preseason as well. Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's talk to Xavier in West Palm. What's up?
Hey, what's up, brother? The new listener, man. I love your show.
Oh, thanks, man.
And I got to say that, man, Dolphins win was the best. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Right. Winning is winning.
Right.
And I'm ecstatic for the season.
I'm with you, man. It's like I don't read nearly as much into style points in the NFL. I mean, obviously, if my Miami Hurricanes had beaten Bethune-Cookman by 2 points, I'd be pretty damn worried about that. But for the Dolphins to go into Los Angeles and beat the Chargers by 2 to close out a close game, man, I am at peace with it.
Correct. They haven't played in how long now? They had injuries. They had this going on. They've been in the media every single day. I mean, to go out there after the hurricane, did what they did. They came home with the win. They're going to be on the road for a while now. Man, they got it going on. They got it rolling. Think about it. They got the win in the back of their head. They're going, moving forward. They're saying, hey, man, we can do this. We got to win. Let's go out. Let's keep winning. If they would have got that first loss, they would have said, damn, guys, what the hell are we doing wrong?
I think you might want to get that just in case. It's like he caught it. He caught the curse word in the middle of the word. So I think he may have censored himself, but we won't take any chances with that one. Oh, man. Ed, listen, the players were feeling good about it. You didn't hear like the same story. And obviously everybody said we can play better. And like I asked Michael Thomas, the safety, today, if it's kind of becoming the identity of this team to close out a lot of these close, ugly games. And yeah, he admitted, yeah, that's kind of who we are, that we're persistent, we're perseverant. If that's even a word, perseverance. Yeah, we'll take it. That they have all of those qualities, but he would like a little less drama in some of these games, right? Like Michael Thomas said, we would love to win some of these victories more comfortably rather than having to struggle and scratch and claw our way back.
Imagine how Jay Cutler feels, okay?
How so?
Excuse me, Philip Rivers.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, Philip Rivers.
I botched that as poorly as I possibly could.
That's why I was like, wait, where are you going with that one? No, imagine how Younghoe Koo feels, the kicker from the Chargers.
Younghoe?
Younghoe. I found this out today that it's pronounced Younghoe. It's spelled Younghoe. And I was saying that all throughout the postgame yesterday, so excuse me. But apparently his name is really pronounced Younghoe Koo. Let's talk to Eric in Miami. What's up, Eric?
What up, Dino?
Not much, man. How you doing?
It's pretty good, man. Listen, no matter what his name is, I like Younghoe, and that's what I'm going to call him. It just sounds better to me.
Can you imagine, though, what that must have been like growing up? Like, okay, like you're in, like, okay, you're starting first grade. The teacher is going through the roll call. Koo, Younghoe? Younghoe, are you there? And he's got to explain, like, to every person he met as a child, he's got to explain, no, guys, I'm not the Younghoe. I'm Younghoe. Get it right. Yeah. Stop making fun of me. That must have been tough. That's why I think he's going to handle this adversity well, because missing two kicks and possibly getting cut, that does not compare to the amount of bullying he probably had to face growing up.
Yeah, I know. Hey, on the Dolphins, man, a couple of things. Listen, I don't know why people continue to question anything Adam Gase does. The Dolphins have won 10 of the last 12 regular season games.
Yep.
These are games that under different regimes, we lose all the time. It's like, you know that saying, oh, that's so Dolphins. We would have lost this game without Adam
Gase. Right, and it's funny you say that, because I want to read a text real quick. A texter just wrote in, Dono, did we win or did the Chargers lose this game? No, I say we won the game, because how many times over the years have you seen the Dolphins screw up and lose these close games? Even the ugly games, you see them find a way to lose. The fact that they found a way to win, I'm sure Charger fans are blaming their kicker, but I think any Dolphin fan should be saying today, we won that game.
Yeah, listen, what you saw yesterday in the Dolphin game is usually what the NFL is all about. Close games coming down to the end. Where it makes the plays at the end is going to win. That's what usually these games come down to. You know, and listen, I like the way Adam Gase was play calling, even though I know he said earlier in his press conference that he put the Dolphins in a bad position. I think with Cutler, you got to be careful with him, because if you don't control him, he could easily lose you a game.
Sure.
And I think Adam Gase knows that. He also knows he's only been here for, what, 3-4 weeks? There's no way he knows these receivers. He can't just put him out in a regular season game, just being here not even over a month, and start slinging it around against a pretty good defense in San Diego. So he let the game come to him, and it got better in the third, fourth quarter as the game opened up. I have no issues. I think the longer that Cutler gets familiar with his receivers. I think Cutler said this yesterday. The floodgates open. Till then, control them. All right, Donald.
Great call, man. Great call. And yeah, there's no question. The play calling, especially in the first half, was very buttoned up. Right. It was frustrating. But in the second half, things started to open up and the points started to come on the board. Let's see who's been on hold longest here. Oh, Gordon, you're on WQAM. What's up, Gordo?
What's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Wonderful. I don't want any more talk of this linebacker. I mean, what a waste of time. I mean, we should spend 1 minute talking about him and that's it. I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
I hope he's all right. I hope he didn't do anything to himself. But he's not on the field. I mean, I'd rather spend more time talking about how our punter shanked the punt, you know, than talking about this guy. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to listen to this. I don't want one more conversation about this guy unless we find out what happened. There's no point of talking about this guy. And for all intents and purposes, we're going to have a problem at linebacker this whole year because this guy can't pull it because this guy's out. And because we lost the linebacker, the guy, the second round pick.
Yeah, McMillan.
Our secondary is awful. So, I mean, we're gonna squeak by against teams like the Chargers. We'll probably squeak by. Well, the Jet game will be tough just because our linebacking situation and our secondary is awful. But, you know, listen, I agree. You know, it doesn't matter how we won. Each game, I think, is treated on its own.
It should be, yeah.
But no more talk about this linebacker. And, you know, what's the point of bringing on a Hurricane beat writer for? There's nothing to talk about. What do you talk about?
We talk about the Canes. They're about to play
what's
this weekend.
What's to talk about?
They haven't played a game since September 1st. They finally play again this weekend.
So why do you waste a half hour of our time talking about beat writer against Toledo? What do you talk about?
So, okay, you don't want to keep up with the team and how these guys are doing after a couple weeks?
There's nothing to talk about until after they play.
Well, listen. I'm going to tell Peter you said that. He's going to be very angry.
Please. Tell him.
I'll let him know. I'll pass along the message. Gordo, have a nice day. What's to talk about? Team hasn't played a game in weeks. They're finally playing this Saturday. I would like to talk some Hurricanes football tonight, and we will. Let's talk first, though, to John in Sarasota. What's up, John?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Dolphins season ticket holder for a long time. You know, it's funny. When I looked at Jay Cutler from afar, being a Dolphins fan, I always thought to myself, well, the guy's got one of the strongest arms in football, if not the strongest arm in football. And I always just felt that when he was with Chicago, his offensive lines just absolutely stunk.
He had some awful O-lines there. Had a lot of talented players to throw the football to, but he did have some awful offensive lines.
And you would see him go back and throw those almost Marino-like lightning strikes down, you know, 25, 30 yards just on a button, you know. His arm is so strong. That's why I was so surprised in the first half with that dinking and dunking with him. But then I started looking more at the first half, and I saw that every time Cutler would go back and try to set up, he wasn't getting a lot of time to set up at all. So I guess that's why Gase had him really kind of throwing the ball short a lot, you know?
I'd appreciate the call. I want to get to one more here because Todd is in Southern California. You were at the game yesterday, right, Todd?
Yes, I was.
So what was that like? Was it like a Dolphin takeover? It sounded like a lot of Dolphin fans there.
Well, the stadium holds 27,000, and it was 25,300 and some change. And I would say easily 15,000 people were all Dolphin fans.
Wow.
We had the visitor side completely taken over. I mean, the cheers at the end of the game when they missed the kick were more Dolphins. And what was funny about it, I don't know if they caught it on the TV, is every time the Chargers score – They shoot this cannon off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they shot the cannon off for the missed field goal.
Exactly. I'm in the end zone, and the angle I had, it looked like it went through because my angle wasn't that great because I was in the end zone where he missed, and the cannon goes off, and I'm like, you know, crap, we just lost. But then my buddy next to me is like, he missed it, and I'm like, no way. And then I see the Dolphins players go nuts, and then the fans, we just go nuts. And I couldn't believe it because I heard the cannon. I'm like, well, there goes that one, you know. But it was definitely – an experience to be in such a tiny stadium, but it was nice to see that the West Coast Dolphin fans really represented well. And like I heard a lot of the players saying, for both sides, it felt like it was a home game for the Dolphins yesterday.
Yeah. I appreciate the call, man. I'm glad we could get a firsthand report out there.
Yeah, it was my pleasure to call in. I listened to you guys on my way home from work and stream you guys, so
that's great.
I throw it out there for you guys.
Amen to that. Thank you. It's Todd in Southern California. We got Dolphin fans everywhere. I've met Dolphin fans in Europe. They love us in London. I know that. That's why we still have to keep that stupid London game schedule. Can't have that home game back. God forbid. Wembley. That's Hard Rock Stadium East. Wembley Stadium. They love us in Wembley. Oh, man. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Ooh, we got a giveaway coming up. A couple of Miami Hurricanes tickets for the Toledo game. Should we do that now, Solana? Should we, let's grace the folks with an opportunity, because we have right now, if you are caller number 5 to the contest line at 1-800-227-0560. That's 1-800-227-0560. If you are caller number 5, you win a pair of tickets to see the Miami Hurricanes taking on the Toledo Rockets. That's this Saturday, September 23rd at Hard Rock Stadium. You know, I'll be there, and I know you will be too. If you are caller number 5 to 1-800-227-0560, you win a pair of tickets to see Miami and Toledo. We'll talk some Hurricanes football with Peter Ariz. The Canes Insight Report is coming up next here on WQIM.
From 44 yards, on the way. And he missed it.
Could be the final play before the two-minute warning. It's caught. Hearns into the end zone for the Jags touchdown.
Frank Gore straight ahead. Touchdown, Colts. They have the lead.
Play action. Hogan with pressure coming. Steps up. Fires into the end zone. And it is caught. Touchdown. David Njoku. The rookie with his first NFL touchdown off a strike from Kevin Hogan.
I haven't heard this song in a long ass time. Missed it. Although I didn't miss it because I completely forgotten about it, but I'm happy to hear it again. There you heard the pro Canes touchdowns, since, you know, the actual Canes didn't play this past weekend, but touchdowns from David Njoku, Frank Gore, Alan Hearns. Now, the Hearns touchdown was scored in garbage time, but it still counts, baby. Still counts for my pro Canes. It is time now for the Canes Insight Report, brought to you by Caneswear at Miami Fanwear. That is the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit caneswear.com. Peter Ariz, canesinsight.com, outthehuddle.com joins us. Pete, I hope you had a good weekend. I hope everything is well for you since the storm. How are you today?
Doing well, Alex. Still no cable or internet. Ooh. So, you know, that's a modern day struggle, but we have the AC and power and all that. So could definitely be a lot worse. I know a lot of people out there still are without power. So still an unfortunate situation for sure.
So, I mean, for a guy like you who is, you know, part of your job is being on the internet constantly, is that right. Just your smartphone becomes very active, or do you go sit at a Starbucks somewhere? How do you manage that?
Well, I have been moving around all over the place, all over the house, to every spot that that I know has the best service, and even then it's still tough. It's been very spotty. I've been really frustrated at times trying to get tweets out and post certain things, but, you know, we manage, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, even it's a weird week for the Canes, Peter, since they've been displaced from campus. They're not at Green Tree this week. They're in Orlando at the Wide World of Sports complex, the ESPN complex in Disney World. So as far as we know, is everybody there? Everybody on the team is together? They've all sort of regrouped, even though they're in a different location?
Yep, the whole team is there. They've been practicing for a few days already. Today they had more of a walkthrough type situation. And tomorrow they'll really go full speed with everything. But, you know, listening to some of the players' comments after practice today, they said, look, even Coach Richt was a little surprised that we stayed in condition. So that was a pleasant surprise for Coach Richt. But, you know, as we've been following this whole thing over the past week and a half, 2 weeks, of course, beginning with the cancellation of the Arkansas State game, the way that Miami's handled this, I mean, it was really the only way they could have, to tell you the truth. And Coach Richt kind of went in depth about it today and kind of reinforced kind of everything we've talked about the last couple weeks, that he just wanted the guys to be with their families. Guys like Jaquan Johnson said, you know, I stayed down in Homestead with my mom, and she needed help boarding up the house and picking up, you know, the trees after the storm and all those sorts of things. So I think it was important. And then, you know, looking at the positive side of things, if you're looking to try to find a positive out of this,
I could see this being a good bonding experience for the team, quite frankly. It's not as festive as a bowl week, per se, but it's the same sort of thing. They're out there as a team, not in Miami. Of course, school's still not started at the U, not going to be starting up until Monday. So you know, their focus is back on football, and I think that's the important thing. That look, everyone's kind of, you know, still moving on from you know, the storm and all that, but for the most part, everyone came out, you know, as good as they could have hoped. So the focus is back on football. That's the main thing. I'll be interested to see what it's like that first quarter. They haven't been hitting, of course, the last couple weeks, and that's going to be the question for me, because none of these guys have ever really dealt with something in the middle of the season like this, the timing, or I should say the beginning of the season. But again, you look at the way the schedule was, you had a month of camp, you know, pretty tough, pretty grueling. But after camp, you're ready to go, right? You're ready to get into the season. You played one game, and then, look, these guys, I'm not going to say they've been sitting around, but it's not like they've been in organized team workouts. A lot of them said, you know, we ran around the neighborhood, you know, went lifted weights as much as we could.
Yeah, I saw Zach McLeod said he was, like, lifting neighbors' trees after the storm, that was one of the ways he stayed in shape. I thought that was kind of cool.
I mean, yeah, that's it. You know, it's a nice little anecdote from the whole situation. But that's, again, the focus is back on football. That's the most important thing. And it's going to be an interesting game this weekend, because you're playing a Toledo team from the MAC that, you know, you look at just the name on paper and it's nothing that scares you. But they are going to be a team that is really high powered offensively. Defensively, it's a different story, but you know, their quarterback Logan Woodside led the country in passing touchdowns last year at 45 through six last game against Tulsa in a win, and they're averaging 46 points per game. Now, again, defensively, wow. I think Miami could exploit some things. Tulsa ran for 440 yards on them last week, and Tulsa put up 51 on them. But again, we talked about in that opener against Bethune-Cookman, kind of the disappointment, you could say, and this is not a surprise, a shock to anyone, because Manny Diaz drilled it into those guys after that game. But the defense just did not come out with, you know, enough intensity, I would say. So this is a good test. I mean, it's not Florida State, anything near what you're going to see speed-wise or anything like that, and the athletes you'll be matched up against. But it'll be for where they are in the season after what just happened, after the layoffs. I think it's kind of the perfect game at this point.
Peter Ruiz from CanesInsight.com and OutTheHuddle.com joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. So, Peter, what are – you know, I know that the Bethune-Cookman game, it feels like it was a month and a half ago, right? It was almost 3 weeks ago. But, I mean, what are – you know, we talked about you know, the defense being maybe a little bit buttoned up and conservative in that game. What are some of the things you would really like to see improve out of these Canes when we finally see them hit the field again?
Well, look, I'm not going to say improve just yet, just because I think we need to see a bigger body of work. But a couple things that I'm looking for that I, you know, was kind of looking forward to seeing over the past couple weeks is the emergence of some of the young guys, right? Because we saw early on last year a lot of those freshmen making plays right off the bat, and they kind of introduced themselves early on. You know, we've talked about Mike Harley a whole lot. We've talked about Trajan Bandy, Amari Carter, Jonathan Garvin. Those are all names I'm looking for over the next couple weeks to really cut their teeth, because once you get into ACC play, if those guys haven't necessarily shown the coaching staff that they're ready, and I'm not saying those guys in particular, but some of those freshmen, then it's going to be tougher for them to get in the game in that situation. So I'm, again, looking at those young guys. Amon Richards, he's expected, from what I'm hearing, to play this weekend against Toledo. Again, it wasn't a full practice situation today, but he was out there. We'll see if he gives it a full go tomorrow. But that's, you know, everyone talks about Mark Walton, and he is, you know, very, very well should be talked about. And I think he's going to show himself as a top 10 running back very easily in the country this year. But you talk to NFL people, and Amon Richards is potentially down the line a first round pick with his dynamic ability out there. So he's a game changer. You saw what he did last year, but you want to get him ready. When you're dealing with a hamstring thing, you want to make sure someone like that is ready to go, because you can kind of tweak that at any time if you're not 100%. So I'm just going to be looking for him, kind of see how he looks out there, quite frankly.
You know, Peter, something you posted an article on at your site, Canes Insight, about an hour ago. I think this is pretty cool that, okay, Miami is displaced in Orlando. They're practicing up there, but they're making the most of it by hosting recruits up there. What's happening?
Right. So that's actually, again, making the most out of the situation. Like you said, they had a kid by the name of Dennis Briggs, who's up there in the Orlando area, and he's actually Miami's top target remaining on the defensive line, I would say, defensive tackle in particular. That's a kid who wouldn't have otherwise been able to just make it down to a Miami practice in the middle of the season like that. And then, interestingly enough, you had two kids who are committed to Miami, from Southridge, Mark Pope and D. Wiggins, two receivers. They were up at the Florida-Tennessee game this weekend. And they're from Miami, but on their way back down from Gainesville, they made the stop. I thought that was interesting as well. Those guys are solid commitments. They're not expected to leave the class at any point, but it's pretty funny that, a lot of Gator fans were very excited that they went up there to take the trip. And then, just a day later, Miami was able to get them right back kind of, around the team and whatnot. So I thought that was interesting. And then the day before, so that was yesterday, but then the day before that, Lorenzo Lingard and Brian Hightower, two of the more high-profile commits in this class, they were up there. Hightower is out of IMG in Bradenton, and then Lorenzo Lingard, of course, from University up there, in Cocoa. So it was, again, making the most out of the situation. Those are not guys who would have necessarily been able to just make a trip down to campus like some of these even more local guys. Look, recruiting advantages, you'll take them any way that you can. And it's cool to see Coach Rick continue to utilize things like that.
And Peter, you talk about making the most of a situation. The Canes are hosting a home game this coming weekend, September 23rd. And of course, Caneswear, power is back. The store is back open. Brett has everything going, and fans now can stock up on some of that Adidas gear for these upcoming games. Pete, it's a beautiful thing.
And you guys are going to want to check out on Friday in the store. The Adidas has actually released the Turnover Chain shirts, and they'll be in store on Friday. You'll be able to make your orders online.
Yes, the Turnover Chain.
So,
I got to get one of those.
Yep. I just tweeted out the picture a little while ago. Caneswear tweeted out. Brett tweeted it out. So definitely want to check that out. Talk about making the most out of a situation, right?
Love it. He is Peter Ariz. This is the Canes Insight Report, brought to you by Caneswear at Miami Fanwear. That is the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit caneswear.com. And, of course, you want to check out Peter's work at canesinsight.com, outthehuddle.com, and check him out on Twitter. He's hunting for that service all around the house without the cable and phone service being spotty. Peter is still doing work. At Peter Ariz is where you follow him. Pete, thank you so much, man.
Thanks, Alex. Have a good show.
Great stuff as always there from Peter. I love that. Canes are in Orlando practicing. They're displaced. They're hosting recruits up there, making the most of a strange situation. 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Donner Show coming up next here on WQAM.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.